Okay, welcome to Shiur in Sforno, Parshas Beshalach, number of sponsorships this evening. First of all, Mr. Michael Meir sponsoring Le'ili Nishmas' father, Avram Yitzchak ben Yechiel Michal, whose yard site is today, as well as Perla Norman Wisen, marking the yard site today of her brother, Irving Borenstein, Yonah Leib and Yosef Chaim HaKohen, as well as Aaron and Judy Mitrani, marking the yard site of her father, Albert Stein, Avram ben Moshe HaKohen, and marking the yard site of Morty Lusgart and Mordechai Zev ben Yisrael Yehuda. The Neshama should have an aliyah, should also see much nachas ruach in the Torah mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim that the respective families are involved in. Point out a number of somewhat unique insights from the Sforno into Parshas Beshalach. So, Perek Yudalit Posuk Tesvav, the Jews are standing by Yamsuf. The Yamsuf has not yet split, and the Jews start to complain to Moshe Rabbeinu, why did the Ribbono Shel Olam take us out of Egypt? Did he just take us out to kill us while we're here in the desert? Many of them think it's hopeless. Here the Egyptian army is running after us. They have us at a dead end. They're going to kill us. It's all over. And in Pasuk Tesvav, the Ribbono Shel Olam says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Matit Sakei Loi, what are you calling out to me? Daber El Bnei Yisrael V'Yisrael, speak to the Jewish people, let them travel forward. So on the surface, and this is the way Rashi interprets it, Matit Sakei Loi, what are you crying out to me, is an appeal to Moshe Rabbeinu to stop davening. Moshe Rabbeinu realizes that the Jews are at a dead end. Doesn't look like it's going to get much better. And he turns to the Ribbono Shel Olam and begins to cry out for divine assistance. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, what are you davening to me for? Don't daven to me. Turn to Klal Yisrael and tell them to start marching forward. And of course, that raises a host of questions, that interpretation. What do you mean? Matit Sakei Loi, what are you davening to me for? Isn't that the natural reaction that a Jew is supposed to have in an Eis Tzara, in a time of difficulty? Isn't he supposed to turn to the Ribbono Shel Olam? What exactly was Moshe Rabbeinu supposed to do at that junction, if not to daven? Certainly the Ribbono Shel Olam's words to him, just start marching towards the sea, is not something that we would expect Moshe Rabbeinu to come up with on his own. Davening seems to be the only option that one would have under those circumstances. So, it's not clear whether the Sforno is responding to these questions directly, but certainly the interpretation that he gives responds to these questions, because he gives a totally different understanding of those words of Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu, Matit Sakei Loi. He says as follows, Ki omnom hu hoyo bichlal vayitzaku v'nei Yisrael el Hashem. Certainly, when it says a few psukim earlier that vayitzaku v'nei Yisrael el Hashem, that when the Jews lifted up their eyes and they saw the Egyptians pursuing after them and there was really no way out, it says that they cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and presumably Moshe Rabbeinu was among those who cried out to the Ribbono Shel Olam as well. I mean, certainly probably was the chief among those who cried out to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Omnom tzakas Moshe lahoysom yiras paro v'chelo. But the crying out that Moshe Rabbeinu engaged in, which is referenced here in this pasuk, was not out of fear of Paro or his hosts. Ki kvar higid li Yisrael es mapeles hamitzrim umisasam. Because it's just a few psukim earlier that Moshe Rabbeinu turned to Klal Yisrael, and he assured them that they had nothing to fear from Paro, from the Egyptians. Ka'omro, as Moshe Rabbeinu said just a few psukim earlier in Yud Gimel and Yud Dalud, Lo sosifu lirosam od ad olam. This is going to be the last time you're ever going to see Paro and the Egyptians. Hashem yilochem lochem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to fight your battles for you. So presumably Moshe Rabbeinu really believed what he said. When he said to the Jewish people, you don't have to worry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do away with this enemy. Presumably he meant it. So if that's the case, he was not afraid of Paro and his people. So then what is he crying out to Hashem? Avol hoyso tzakoso al miri Yisrael. What was Moshe Rabbeinu crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu over? He was crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to ignore the rebelliousness of the Jewish people. Sheheizu pneyem. The Jewish people were acting brazenly towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ba'amram, as they said, Hamibli en kvarim b'mitzrayim. The Jewish people, just a few psukim earlier, had spoken brazenly to Moshe Rabbeinu, and implicitly were questioning not only the wisdom of Moshe Rabbeinu in taking them out of Mitzrayim, but the wisdom of the Ribbono Shel Olam in taking them out of Mitzrayim. Hamibli en kvarim b'mitzrayim l'kachtonu l'malmos b'amidbar. Were there not enough graves in Egypt that you had to take us out here to the desert, that we should die here? They speak sarcastically, they speak brazenly. And in a sense, it's a rejection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'choshav b'shvil zeh shlo yishomu lo likones bayom. And Moshe Rabbeinu cries out to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he says, Ribbono Shel Olam, I have every faith in you that you're going to save the Jewish people, but the way they're acting, maybe they don't deserve to be saved. The way they're acting, even if you tell me that I should command the Jewish people to go into the Yam Suf, as indeed HaKadosh Baruch Hu is about to say to Moshe Rabbeinu, who says they're going to listen? They don't seem to be a very obedient bunch, this Jewish people. So lefikach omer lo matitzak eloi bozeh. So the Ribbono Shel Olam says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Matipsak Eloi, what are you yelling to me? Meaning, why do you distrust the Jewish people? Not why are you davening to me? Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't davening at that point. He was saying to the Ribbono Shel Olam, can I really rely on the Jewish people to be worthy of being saved? Can I rely that they're going to follow my orders, which are really your orders, Ribbono Shel Olam? Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu, Matipsak Eloi, there's no need for worry. You don't have to be concerned about the Jewish people. And then the Sfarno uses the strongest language. Ki omno matachoshet b'ksheirim. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, are being suspicious of people who are fine, upstanding, worthy people. It's not appropriate for you to speak ill or to think ill of the Jewish people under these circumstances. It's not the first time that Moshe Rabbeinu has been accused by the Ribbono Shel Olam of being choshet b'ksheirim. When the Ribbono Shel Olam at the Sneh, at the burning bush, was sending Moshe Rabbeinu down to Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Hein lo yaminu li v'lo yishmu b'koli." I'm afraid that they're not going to listen to me. They're not going to heed my words. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we know, tells them, "Take the staff that you have in your hands, and I'll miraculously turn it into a snake." Rashi there writes, quoting Chazal, "Why a snake? The snake is the symbol of lashon hara. You spoke lashon hara against the Jewish people. Your staff is going to turn to a snake. You shouldn't distrust the Jewish people." He tells Moshe Rabbeinu, stick your hand into your cloak, and it will become filled with tzaras, with leprosy. Again, tzaras is the sign of somebody who's speaking lashon hara against the Jewish people. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, you don't trust the Jewish people enough. That was a problem, again, on Moshe Rabbeinu's level, but that was a problem at the beginning of Moshe Rabbeinu's tenure, before he was even sent down to Mitzrayim. Now the Sfarno is saying, on some level, Moshe Rabbeinu is still wrestling with that same issue. He still doesn't have that confidence in the Jewish people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Matitzak Eloi, don't cry out to me. Dabir b'nei Yisrael v'Yisrael, speak to them, tell them to go, and you'll see that they'll go. Your suspicions are unfounded. You'll see that they'll listen to you. That's, he continues, Dabir b'nei Yisrael v'Yisrael, says the Sfarno, v'lo yamru espicha. They will not disobey. Whatever, you know, they talk in a way which maybe is sarcastic and shows a lack of respect, but when push comes to shove, they believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they believe in you, and they're ready to literally jump into the sea at your command. And that's indeed what happened, that Moshe Rabbeinu tells them to go forward. And again, according to Chazal, it's one person at first, Nachshon ben Aminadov, but okay, but at the end of the day, they walk into the sea, and the sea splits before them. So this pasuk in the interpretation of the Sfarno is really a divine justification of Klal Yisrael and their worthiness of being redeemed. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, may not believe in them entirely, but I believe in them. So says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu. Another interesting, somewhat unique statement from the Svarno, some aspects of which we've seen before. The pasuk then goes on after the pasuk we mentioned to describe how Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, pick up your staff, use it as a way to split the sea. And then we read in pasuk Yudches, V'yodu Mitzrayim ki ani Hashem. The Egyptians will know that I am Hashem, bikavdi b'far b'richbo b'parashav, as I cause Paro and his forces to become stuck in the mud as they're trying to go through the dry land of the Yamsuf, and of course ultimately they will be enveloped by the Yamsuf and swept away. When the pasuk says V'yadu Mitzrayim, the Egyptians will know that I am Hashem, which Egyptians are we referring to? So I think the simple pshat in the pasuk is the army of Paro will become aware, albeit for a very brief period of time, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world. As the waters are closing in on them, they will realize, okay, I guess HaKadosh Baruch Hu was right. I guess Paro was wrong. I guess this was a really bad idea, right, to listen to Paro. And then they won't think much after that at all. I think that's the simple pshat in the pasuk. V'yadu Mitzrayim, the Egyptians who were part of the army, will become aware of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is God. The Svarno gives a different interpretation, and this is consistent with a number of things we've seen from the Svarno all along. V'yadu Mitzrayim, the Egyptians will know, he says, Hanish'arim b'Mitzrayim. It's the Egyptians who are back in Egypt, not the Egyptians who were there at Yam Suf, part of the army, but the rest of the people who are back home in Egypt, who didn't go as part of the army. When the word makes its way back to the people in Egypt, that this is what happened to Paro and to his forces, those Egyptians remaining in Egypt will become convinced that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is God. V'yoshuvu Eli, and they'll do tshuva. Kilo echbots b'mos ha'meis. Because I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't want anyone to die. I want everybody to do tshuva. This is a theme that we've seen a number of times already in the Svarno. The Svarno develops the idea that the Makos in Mitzrayim were meant not only to inspire the Jews, but to inspire the Egyptians. Halavai, that the Egyptians would do tshuva and that they would return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Svarno even suggests that had Paro and the Egyptians done tshuva, they could have eliminated all of the Makos with the exception of Makos Becharos, because Makos Becharos was a unique punishment that had to come upon the Egyptian people. But otherwise, the first 9 Makos they could have avoided if they did tshuva properly. Even Paro could have done tshuva and avoided, you know, those Makos. So here, even as the Jews are being saved and the Egyptian army and Paro being washed away by the sea, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still speaking about the importance of the Egyptians who were back there in Egypt engaging in tshuva and returning to the Ribbono Shel Olam. A profound thing, you know, that's part of the focus at that particular time. Just moving ahead a little bit in the parsha, so we read in Perek Tesvav the Shiras Hayom, the song which is uttered by Moshe Rabbeinu and Klal Yisrael at the Yam Suf. So, as part of that song, we have the following famous pasuk. And again, there's a lot to talk about in the pasukim over here. Ozi v'zimras ka v'yehili lishua. Strength and song of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what happened over here. Ozi v'zimras ka. So there are numerous interpretations of these three words. Ozi v'zimras ka. We say it every morning in the davening. This is the interpretation given by the Svarno. Uzo v'zimraso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yoro v'ayom es sus v'rochva. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused the army of Paro to be thrown into the sea is both a source of strength, Ozi, as well as a source of song, Zimros. How so? Number one, it's a source of strength. Ki bozeh hera uza, because through the drowning of the Egyptians, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed his strength. Shehu melech al kol ha-melochim, that he's king over all the kings. V'sheroi shehu melech al kol ha-melochim, that he's king over all the kings. And number two, it's zimras ka. It's the praise of Hashem. Sheroi shehalu ha-noshoim, that those people who were saved, meaning the Jewish people, it's fit for them to praise Hashem. Bekol zimra, with voices raised in song. Smechim lihios la'avodim l'melech olam. They are happy and overjoyed to be servants of the eternal king. Now that's just to show a little bit of way of contrast as to how to translate these psukim. Some understand that the word vizimras is related to the word lizmor, which means to prune or to cut away. Ozi vizimras ka, HaKadosh Baruch Hu displayed his strength and his pruning and his cutting away, his destructive powers in doing away with the enemy at this time. The fact that the Sfarot doesn't give that interpretation, and instead he links the word zimras to song, like Psukei de Zimra, right? Songs of praise, shows that he understands that the Shiras Hayom itself is speaking about an obligation of praise that Klal Yisrael has after having experienced the miracle of Yamsuf. In other words, to paraphrase that which the Gemara says in Masechta Pesachim, is it possible that Klal Yisrael would go through the Yamsuf and be saved from the Yamsuf and they wouldn't say Halil? The Gemara in Masechta Pesachim suggests that as Klal Yisrael passed over the sea, they were saying not only the Shiras Hayom, which we have in Chumash, but they were saying the Psukim of Halil, which we recite on every Yontiv and on many, many other occasions during the year as well. Because how is it possible that Klal Yisrael would go through the Yamsuf, experience this kind of miraculous salvation, and not give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So that idea that when certainly a nation experiences a salvation, there's some kind of obligation to respond by singing praises and by singing halil of some sort, according to the Sfarno, is the pasuk itself. Ozi v'zimras ka, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu displays his oz, when he displays his strength, zimras, there's an obligation on those who were saved through that strength to respond with shira, to respond with singing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The pasuk continues, zekeli ve'anveyu. This is my God, zekeli ve'anveyu. We'll translate that word in just a minute. What's zekeli? This is my God. So says the Sfarno, hu anitzchi v'hakadmon etzli. Keli implies God who is eternal. Asher behechreyach yalu kol sibos hanifsadim elov, umimeno tia nitzchios hasmodosam. The fact that the world continues to exist on a regular basis is a function of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's symbolized, or that's hinted at, in this name of God, Kel, Zek Keli, this is my God who is the God of eternity. Ve'anvehu. What's the word ve'anvehu? So most of us, I think, are familiar with the drasha of Chazal, mentioned in Masechta Shabbos and other places, that Zek Keli ve'anvehu, the word ve'anvehu means Hisnael lefonov b'mitzvos, that we should perform mitzvos in a beautiful way before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'anveyu being related to the word no'eh, something which is beautiful. And again, the concept of hidur mitzvah, of making the mitzvahs physically beautiful, you buy a nice esrog, you have a nice talus, you have a nice tefillin, that's related by Chazal, back to this pasuk, zekeli ve'anveyu. The Sfarno, following in the footsteps of the Targum Unculus over here, has a totally different interpretation of what the word ve'anveyu means. He says, es en no'eh, L'shachno b'sochenu. The word ve'anveyu is related to the word noveh, which means a dwelling place. Ve'anvehu means I will build Hashem a sanctuary. If you take a look in Targum Unculus, he says, the Targum Unculus translates ve'anvehu, ve'evnei lei mikdusha, I will build a mikdash to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's ve'anvehu. Uvoes palel elav bilvad, in this mikdash, I will daven to Hashem exclusively. Ve'evod koroi lemeitiv u'meiria, and I will serve Hashem appropriately insofar as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who either bestows good upon us or bestows bad things upon us. And then he writes, Ki omnom ho'avoda ve'hatfilo mechuvonim limtzochein. One of the purposes of tefillah, of davening, and of avodah, bringing karbonos, is to find favor in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So zek keli ve'anveyu, the very first thing that Klal Yisrael say after crossing over the Yam Suf and beginning to sing Shira, is that we recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is eternal, and we recognize that the appropriate response to these events which we saw unfold in front of our eyes is to build a Beis HaMikdash and to make that a permanent place where we can go and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether through tefillah, whether through davening, whether through avodah, whether through bringing korbanos before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's ve'anveyu, according to the Svarna. Finally, the pasuk ends off, zekeli ve'anveyu, elokei ovi ba'arom emenu. God is the God of my father, and I will exalt him. Who's the father who's being referenced over here? Why is it important to refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Elokei Ovi, the God of my father? Just, he's my God. No, it's good enough. So the Svarno, interestingly, says that the reference is to Elokei Yaakov. The reference that Hashem is the God of my father means my father Yaakov Avinu specifically. In contrast, if you look at Rashi and the Ibn Ezra, they both explain that Avi over here means not only Yaakov, not only one of the Avos, but all three Avos. But again, the language fits the Svarno a little bit better than Rashi and the Ibn Ezra, because again, according, if you're going to talk, strictly speaking, if you want to use the Hebrew language to refer to God as the God of my fathers, so it should be Elokei Avosai, the God of my fathers. Elokei Ovi means the God of my father, singular. There's only one father being discussed. So it's Yaakov, says the Svarna. Why Yaakov? Shodia be'omron kel Elokei Yisrael, shehu nora begodlo uvahashkachosa. It was Yaakov who referred to Hashem as kel Elokei Yisrael, the God who is the God of Israel, which implies that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unique in his greatness, but also in his providence. Shehei midas harachamim u'midas hadin. Greatness and providence means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu simultaneously employs the attribute of mercy while also employing the attribute of strict justice. The idea that God can be both just and merciful at the same time is an idea which is uniquely associated with Yaakov. The truth is, in this regard, although the Svarno doesn't reference it, in Kabbalah that's the idea as well. We know that each of the Avos are associated with one of these Sphiros, one of the attributes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Yaakov Avinu is associated with Tiferes. He's associated with the idea of splendor, of Tiferes, which is a balance between the idea of chesed associated with Avraham Avinu and the idea of gevura, of strength, which is associated with Yitzchak Avinu. So Yaakov Avinu is the balance between rachamim and din, between mercy and justice. And it was that idea that came out by Yam Suf. How did that come out by Yam Suf? So the Svarno doesn't explain here, but it seems that he's explaining this idea in the very next pasuk. Hashem ish melchama, Hashem shemo. Yud Kei Vav Kei is the God of, is a man of war, he's a warrior. His name is Yud Kei Vav Kei. What's added by saying Hashem Shemo? His name is Hashem. We figured that out. It says Hashem Ishmael Chama. So on that pasuk, the Sforno writes, Shu Ishmael Chama Umachris HaRishon B'midas HaDin. On the one hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a warrior, and he cuts away, he punishes the Rishaim using the attribute of strict justice. Mikol Makom Hashem Shemo B'midas HaRachamim. Nonetheless, it's appropriate to refer to him as Hashem, which is a name, Yudke Vavke, which is associated with divine mercy. Kivozeh, who knows saying Havayo Umitzias La'olamo, God enables the world to continue to exist. Biyosa Mechala Kotzim in Akerim Shemachrive Olam. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu does away with Rishoim, so then he's making the world a better place to live in. The judgment shown to the Rishoim is actually mercy shown to the rest of the world. So Yudke Vavke Ishmal Chama. Yes, he's Yudke Vavke, the Midah, the attribute of Rachamim, of mercy, but he's Ishmael Chama. At the very same time, he's a man of war, he's a warrior. So that's Elokei Avi, that idea that you can put Rachamim and Din together was uniquely the insight of Yaakov Avinu. So we saw that attribute of HaKadosh Baruch Hu executing both justice and mercy at the same time by the events of Kriyas Yamsuf. Okay, Rabbi Hanan ben Akasha Omer, Rotsa.